And I say sick. She just got a little sick. It wasn't a big deal. And so we went.
You tried to ford the river after hunting too many squirrels in Oregon Trail. She got
cholera.
It was dysentery. It was dysentery.
Was right there. Right there.
Oregon Trail jokes are always good. We
finger on the pulse of pop culture.
Consider still playing Oregon Trail.
Millennials love making slime and Oregon Trail.
Hey dads and non-dads, welcome to the Hey Dad Podcast. This is a podcast where three brothers,
hey,
and one guy who wishes he was our brother,
hey,
talk about dad stuff,
and sometimes non-dad stuff.
So we felt like the portrayal of dads in pop culture didn't really represent us or our friends very well, so we decided to start a podcast to talk about what dad life is really like for us. On today's episode, we are going to talk about the actual day that each one of us became a dad. And anybody...
Except for me. I was off racing motorcycles.
I think anybody that has kids remembers that day extremely well. And the fun part with us is, like, we were all sort of involved in each other's the day we became a dad.
Except for me. I was off racing motorcycles.
So before we really get started here, just wanted to say thank you to so many of you that have shared this podcast with a friend. I've gotten dozens of emails, people reaching out on social just saying, hey, a friend showed me this podcast, or a friend showed my wife this podcast and she showed it to me, or whatever. So thank you so, so much. That just means a ton to us, and it's fun. It's been fun for all four of us to watch this podcast grow and grow and grow. And just to feel like, you know, maybe we're onto something. So thank you very much. Please keep doing it, especially as we're about to launch heydad.com here in a matter of weeks. And the more people we have following along with what we're doing here, the better. And on that note, this is one of the last times I'm going to bug you about this. If you haven't gone to heydad.com yet and given us your email, please do that. There is fun stuff coming in your email inbox pretty soon here. Maybe some giveaways, maybe some discounts, maybe some other stuff. Lastly, please keep the reviews and ratings and all of that coming too. So, on to the episode, which appropriately starts with a story that has absolutely nothing to do with today's topic. So guys, my in-laws recently got this cabin up in like this like foresty wooded area, and it's amazing. And they've spent the last year like going up there every weekend and like remodeling it themselves and decorating it themselves, and they're
burying bodies.
And it's adorable and it's so fun. And this last weekend, or a couple weekends ago, it was like, okay, it's now done. Let's all come up. And so all of us with all of our way too many children went up there, and the first night we were all sitting around the campfire. And it's just this like moment, you know, like one of those moments where you kind of like step back from the moment and you're looking around at everybody and you're just like, we are so lucky. Like, this is so amazing. Everybody's so happy. Everybody loves each other. And then I'd recently taught my kids how to play My Grandma Has a Grocery Store, which is a like road trip game where basically you say like, my grandma has a grocery store, and it is something red. And what you're thinking of is apples. And then everyone's like trying to guess, you know, whatever the thing that might be sold in a grocery store is. Anyway. So my 4-year-old son, Julian, suggests that we should play this game. And I'm thinking, this is so adorable. I taught them this game.
Yeah.
They love playing it in the car. I've even gotten some like looks from my wife when we're playing it in the car, like, what a wonderful husband and father you are. This is such a beautiful game.
So everything I've ever dreamed.
So Julian goes, let's play My Grandma Has a Grocery Store. And he's sitting on my mother-in-law's lap. And she's the most wonderful mother-in-law and grandma you could ever ask for. And she says, yeah, let's play. And he says, my grandma has a grocery store, and it is something red and green. And she says, is it strawberries? And he goes, no. And then someone else guesses something, and he, like, looks at them. And then sort of under her breath, she's kind of trying to explain to Julian. She's like, well, because the strawberry is red on the bottom and has a green stem. And he turns very slowly, and he looks at her. And he goes, still no.
Oh,
And it was even more condescending than that. I can't describe how condescending my 4-year-old was to his grandma. Anyway, the answer was potatoes.
Okay, so I remember when David was born, and Sarah and I, we were in the recovery room, and just everything about this birth was difficult. I mean, I've only had one other... No, this is the only one to compare to.
The first one.
It just felt like the hardest one that's ever happened.
I've been around some births, and that one was pretty hard.
That was pretty... Okay, good. Thank you. So, Sarah had just come out of a C-section, which was not planned, and she's scared to hold David because most of her body's still numb from the anesthetics, and she's got hormones and emotions and just like, everything
like
going
shaky,
through.
Shaky, and it's like such a weird moment right afterwards. Weird.
Yeah, so
the
she's
the nurses
going,
all have air horns in their bottom. Did you guys stab them, you guys too?
Yeah. And then that weird thing, like, everybody comes
all
in.
They all yell, world star. That happened to you guys too, right?
Was this like a Groupon hospital delivery? Yeah.
We gave birth at a discotheque.
It was a BOGO kind of deal.
Okay, so Sarah's feeling everything from joy to scared to I'm not in control of myself right now. So she's scared to hold him. I'm holding him, and for some reason I had heard about skin to skin time, like that's good for dads too. And I whipped off my shirt and I'm holding David so he can bond with me or smell me. I have no idea why. Everybody then comes into the room at this point to meet David for the first time, and I'm shirtless, I'm delirious, I'm holding my newborn son.
My wife is there.
Yeah. And everybody gathers around, we take pictures, we talk for a little bit, and then at a certain point everybody says goodnight, and
at a certain point was like 2 hours later.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
At a certain point was
time doesn't really have its normal.
Not for me. Yeah. Well, and it's weird too, because like, you know, we have a pretty close, relatively large family, so everyone wants to come and congratulate.
Yeah, I will say
it took some time.
Yes. Out of any family I know, your family is the one family that I feel like when someone's having a baby, they all get on the phone and they gather in the operating room ASAP.
Yeah.
That's a thing that's
wrapped up. We kind of
park some candles, we kill a cat, we chant for a couple hours, you know, family stuff.
Yeah. We kill the oldest member of the family to make way for the newest member of the family.
Did you ever meet our brother Jedediah?
He was cool.
Taught me how to skate.
He knew his time had come.
So everybody goes home, and then it was probably 48 hours later that I realized, oh, crap, I never let anybody hold David that whole time. Everybody had been waiting for us, cheering for us in the other room, comes in. I just stood there holding him. What was that like for
you guys? With your shirt off like a maniac.
Yeah, what was that like from your perspective?
Honestly, Andy, like, you were being super duper weird. And like, it was weird in like a cute way. It was weird in like, he doesn't even... Like, I was looking at you, and it was just kind of like, Andy can't come to the phone right now. Like,
he's indisposed.
He's not here. And you were holding him, and it's that thing.
Andy was in the sunken place.
Yeah. When you're holding that baby for the first time, like, it fully is that, like, time stops, I can't see anything. Mm-hmm. And so nobody was mad at you, but we were all talking crap about you walking to the parking lot, laughing. Like, I remember walking with Mom, and I had my arm around Mom as we were walking to the parking lot, and I remember saying, "You'll hold your grandson tomorrow."
That one hurts my heart the most.
Well, I mean, I think also what Kevin is being far too polite to mention is that you were also trying to nurse David. Yeah. But was there a thing also where your dad was flying out of the country and, like, the next day?
Oh, yes. He went on a trip.
And you were like, I'm sure my dad probably wanted to hold my kid, but I wanted to hold him more.
I think he got to hold David when he was like 3 weeks old. Yeah, for the first time.
Quick side note. I don't know where you guys had your baby at, but like, we went through Kaiser, and they talk about skin to skin a lot, almost too much. And they talk about, I must have heard the phrase, when we had Allie, I must have heard the phrase, here at Kaiser, we value skin-to-skin bonding.
Maybe the weird 15, part is 20, when they say that in staff meetings.
Like 15 to 20 times, and I remember one time, as we were getting ready to do our C-section, they were prepping us, and they walked away. The doctor just giving us, like, the quick spiel of how things were going to go, and again, had said, hey, well, you know, here at Kaiser, we value skin-to-skin. And then he said, hey, doctor? And he said, yeah. I'm like, So, skin to skin, what's the deal with that? Do you guys value it? And thinking that maybe, like, a little bit of levity is what Ben's needed, and I very specifically remember, like, both Amy and the doctor being like, yeah, okay. Good one.
Great listen, joke. Listen, there are things we joke about here. We do not joke about skin to skin.
I remember for us, the night before, so we had, with Atlee, we were in labor all day long. And I say we, because I felt like I also put in a huge amount of work.
You know what?
Skin
I bet you did, though. You were helping.
You were
on routine.
You were stressed out the whole time.
I was just, I had, yeah.
And I mean, the joke there is, like, the women do all the work, which, duh, of course right. they do. But you're also, for our part, as, like, it's dads, emotional. Like, you're wearing it with them.
Support. Yeah.
And it's obviously a million times harder for the woman, but there is a unique hard part of, like, I care so much and can right. do so little, and that in and of itself is really hard.
Yeah. So we had been doing that all day long, and finally, like, around, like, 6 or 7 p.m., after, like, a full day doing this, the nurse looks at me and she says, it's probably not going to happen tonight. She's like, you need to go and get food. You need to go get dinner. Like, oh, you man. Look exhausted.
Oh, wow.
And I remember being like, no, I'm fine. And she's like, I'm telling you right now, I need you. You need to go. You need to go get dinner.
You have been evicted.
Yeah. Tell you right, you're looking at me like I'm a piece of pizza. And yeah. I need you to go fix
like
this.
You just bit my hand.
Yeah. You've been salivating.
So, I mean, I at this point, I was so tired. And I think it was more than just being physically tired. I think just emotional, like, exhaustion kind of sets in. And so I remember being kind of in an unfamiliar town, leaving the hospital and going and, like, finding a Panda Express somewhere and then coming back from there. And,
what'd you get from Panda, though?
I remember I definitely got chow mein. No, listen, that's the thing is, like, I showed up, I got back to the hospital, I parked, and all of a sudden kind of snapped to me. I was like, okay, I have Chinese food in my hand, a bag of Chinese food. I don't have my wallet. I don't know where my wallet is. And doing a quick kind of sweep of my car and everything, recognized, yeah, no, I've definitely lost. I've misplaced my wallet. I had my wallet. I know that
I paid
for the food.
You did not give me this for free.
But now the wallet's gone. I have no idea. And I remember, like, when I say I remember, it feels like a distant memory because I was so hazy. I remember calling Panda Express, you know, my wallet. And I'm like, no.
And Panda Express. Excellent customer service.
Yeah, they were really eager to help.
Well, I think their values are customer service, fresh ingredients, skin-to-skin time.
And so I realized I came face-to-face with a very, with just a sudden, like, shot of reality. I had Amy's credit cards and also Amy's ID and Amy's Kaiser card or medical card in my wallet.
All relatively important.
Yeah.
All things you need to have a baby. Apparently. They make you swipe before the baby comes out. And I realized that I was like, okay, there are a few very urgent things that have to happen. The first thing I have to do is I have to go up to the 7th floor of this hospital and find my wife who's just been put on, like, drugs, and I need to ask her how to cancel a credit card.
Which is exactly what she wants to talk about.
Babe.
Yeah, look at me.
I'm over
Don't
here.
Don't look away. Don't look away.
I'm
look
over
at
here.
Me.
You know how, like, usually a grown 34-year-old male would know how to cancel a credit card?
Mm-hmm.
Let's pretend for a second that I don't.
I mean, listen, I can make a baby happen. One thing I can't do is live adult life. I had to go up there and I had to go, hey. And she's like, she's in this, hey, you know, super hazy. She's got her thing. Her
she's medicine. Feeling great.
I'm like, I lost my wallet. I need help with the credit card. And I just remember her. You did what?
She's like, I'm creating life right now, and you can't remember. I sent you to get
and
Chinese
you're actually,
food.
You're actually destroying life right now. You're destroying our financial life. And so
she just goes, I have one question. What do you bring to this?
I've just been thinking this past 2 minutes. I'm not sure I need you around for this kid.
I think me and her would be better off. We'll have our wallet.
We'll keep track of everything. So that put a kind of a pall on the whole thing, but then I'm really glad because then Amy was like, listen, let's just have this baby. We'll deal with our credit cards. Well, we cancel the credit cards. We'll deal with, like, getting our IDs and medical stuff later, which was awesome. But I remember
I also love that in that moment, Amy has to have a baby and then also hold your hand through your emotional journey of losing the wallet.
If there is a better illustration of how life being married to me works, it's, oh, I have to be the adult in the room in this situation too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thought this was my night off.
But I kind of distinctly remember then as I scrambled to call my friends and see who could bring me cash to the hospital because I was like, I just don't need cash to get any
to buy the baby.
I got my baby.
I don't know how this works.
They're not going to let us out of here. I've distinctly, as I was doing that, remember like, we haven't even had this baby yet and I am so freaking tired and I'm screwing up and I'm exhausted. And, yeah, it was funny. And we had the baby, and then no more wallets were lost. Everything was fine. I almost kind of feel like I set down some really important, like, precedents. Like, I'm going to be the one in this family who screws the pooch on a daily basis. You guys just...
You're like, I want to bring Atlee into this world with a very clear-eyed expectation of what her father is going to bring to the table.
I remember I whipped my shirt off, and I have Atlee, and I go, listen.
Oh, there's my wallet. I just...
So the day I became a dad, you know, I described a little bit, kind of going through the chaos of the wallet stuff, and we had a surprise C-section because Amy got sick during labor. We go through the C-section, we have the baby, and, you know, my parents come, Amy's parents come, everyone's meeting the baby, everyone's doing the, you know, in our family, we let the parents hold the babies. And pass it around. I kept my shirt on.
Too soon. Too soon.
Everyone's holding the baby. And, you know, there gets to be a certain point, and my family will be the first to admit they've never been good at, like, taking, like, social cues at all or, like, even verbal cues. And so, you know, you kind of get to the hour mark, and me and Amy are both like, jeez, man, we are getting tired, man. Time to, you know, when you're at a party, you're like, oh, duh, gotta hit the old dusty trail.
Start doing
we're kind of doing that for them. We're like, oh, man, jeez.
Yeah. And you're doing the thing where you talk to each other, but in a really performative way. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, Amy, do you think you need? I think you're gonna need some sleep,
babe. I've noticed you nod off a few times. Or I actually one point said, Amy, you just sent me this text that said, "Hey, can you get your parents the hell out of here?" She didn't think that was funny. So eventually, my parents leave. Amy's parents leave, and we both sit down, and we've just both been through the. I would say the war of a C-section. A C-section is that's a kind of a violent thing sometimes.
There's weapons involved.
Yeah. And so we both just sit down, take a deep breath. And there's just this moment of like, it's more than just like, we had a baby today. It's also like, look at what this last 3 years has done to us, but look what we have to show for it. This baby. And there's a knock on the door, and I assume it's a nurse, and so I think Amy was actually nursing.
So you're having your first moment with Amy where you really get to look at each other and go, like,
we did it.
Yeah, we're
absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely.
This is the moment that I've been dreaming about.
Can you freaking believe it?
And then knock, knock.
Knock, knock, and it's got to be a nurse. And Amy is nursing Atlee, and I just say, oh, come in, because it's got to be a nurse.
Of course it's a nurse.
And in walks Andy with with a travel coffee mug and balloons.
A personalized travel coffee mug. Okay.
And
I picked up at Walgreens.
Here's the deal, man. Amy loves all three of you, some more than others.
Disputed.
Loves Andy. And Amy's reaction was so just like, oh, hi, Andy. And... And for me, and honestly, like, there wasn't even a part of me that thought it was weird. I was just like, oh, cool, Andy came. Bro! Just had a baby, man. Yeah. Come hold this kid. But I kind of read the room. I'm like, hey, let's go talk out in the hallway. And we're going in the hallway to the hospital, and Andy gives me a big hug and gives me, like, the mug. And I'm just like, dude, thanks for coming. And we talking, and Andy,
thanks
right?
Thanks for coming, but, like, you gotta go.
you gotta get the heck out.
As soon as Derek was like... Hey, it did that. That's what I snapped out of my, like, totally excited euphoria. My buddy just had a baby. It was like, oh, I've made a huge mistake. I should not be here.
Is there a more Andy thing to show? I mean, I was, nothing is better. And I've, It's an ongoing joke in our circle of friends, right? You know, Andy came to the hospital. But you know what?
Andy shows up even, nay, especially when he's not supposed to.
It was great. It was great. And I make fun and I tease and I laugh. It always meant a lot to me. But
so, Andy, tell me, you knock on that door. Can we back up like an hour? And will you just sort of like tell me what the process that brought you to that door was?
Yeah. I think I was at work. I think I had, like, stuff to do that day. But I was just like, no, my friend had a baby.
He needs me.
This was a struggle, and I'm going to be there for him.
He needs this mug.
So I got in the car, and I'm driving to Kaiser Antioch, and I'm like, I should probably bring a gift. And then that hospital gift shop, they charge too much. I'm going to stop somewhere. And I just pulled over to Walgreens, and I'm just in the baby section, like, looking for a card or something. And there was, like,
there's a baby section at Walgreens?
No. There should be. But there was, like, a personalized travel mug that you can, I forget, it was, like, a heat embossed whatever, something.
It was, like, a handprint thing. Where you, like,
can put your baby's handprint on the sleeve and then tuck it into the mug, and then you forever have your baby's handprint. I'm like, that's perfect! And I'm like, no, this travel mug thing, it's not cheesy at all. No, it's great. It's a perfect gift. He's gonna love it. He's gonna love it.
I did love it.
He's got good taste.
I got great taste.
So you knock on the door, and you're just, like, it's a Christmas, you're basically Santa Claus. I got there.
Did you know that when you walked in, and did you know that, could you tell that Amy was, like, nursing?
No. Like most things, I have, like a 5-foot radius around me, and that's, like, the most I'm aware of. And I really don't remember Amy breastfeeding. I just remember, like, you guys kind of a blur. Well, in the distance.
I'll tell you what, she remembers it.
That's reassuring to Amy. Amy, if you're listening, you're probably at work.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah. You know the thing we've been worried about for the last 5 years?
We're okay.
Good. Do you know how you always bring that up? We're good.
I really keep going, hey, buddy, let's go in the hallway. And then I immediately snap out of it just like, oh.
I'm in trouble.
He's using his little kid voice.
Oh, no, I'm not supposed to be here. But
I
mean,
also, like, I can see where you're coming from because I've seen how your family does.
Yeah.
Labor and delivery, and they literally, like, we they pack call out everyone that up. Family room. We got matching t-shirts. Let's order pizza. Let's have a rager in the waiting room.
I imagine
you showed up thinking, I'm probably going to see some of my friends. We're going to catch up. Yeah. We're going to play dodgeball in the parking lot.
Okay, but how many of your family members did I beat to getting to meet Atlee? How many people were behind me in meeting Atlee?
Many people. I would say the only people you didn't beat were my mom and dad and Amy's mom and dad.
For that, I'm very glad.
I think that regardless of what you want,
he's Derek, the godfather. Amy,
that makes you the godfather. Yeah, you earned the right. Yeah. In our family, the godfather is just the first one there. It's a foot race.
I'm not familiar with the Roman Catholic culture, but that sounds right.
So the Matza family, me, Kevin, and Andy, we take off from the same destination. First one there gets the godfather.
We've turned the most special day in a couple's life to basically the amazing race.
Yeah.
For me, the day I became a dad, I remember just feeling really frustrated and really helpless because I think, you know, like a lot of people's first kids, it took a while, and it usually takes a while for the first one. And I think what was hitting me in that moment, like during labor, it wasn't like, oh, cool, I'm about to be a dad, or this is a moment, everything's about to change. I think what was really hitting me personally was how little control I had over anything and how high the stakes were.
Yes.
Because the act of birth is so visceral and violent and like carnal. Like it's just so real.
It's crazy.
It's so crazy. And I wasn't ready for that. And I remember, you know, throughout this process, you know, your wife or your partner, whoever is in this pain they've never been in before, making noises they've never made before, and you can't do anything. Yeah. And the things that, like, you think you can do, and that, you know, you're like, you know, hold their hand and encourage them and all that, like, it's not nothing, right? It helps, but it helps like 1%. It's so trivial and small.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, making the baby. It's like the guy helps 1%.
Yeah, pretty much.
You help for a couple seconds.
Yeah. And so I remember feeling like my capacity for grief in like a weird, dark way. I remember feeling that like get deeper and saying like, oh no, like the stakes right now are so high. Like this is my baby, this is my wife, this is, like, I was just, I honestly remember feeling scared and helpless.
You can lose two of the most important people to you in your life in the same moment.
And I think a lot of people will talk about that moment in terms of joy or, you know, being grossed out or being happy or whatever, being overwhelmed. Like, I actually just remember feeling, like, overwhelmed and, like, scared. That's basically how I felt for, like, 20 hours. Mm-hmm. And then I think that's why when the baby was born, I was just so weepy.
Yeah.
I remember that moment when you, like, the fam was, and it was also, it was the first, like, of this new generation. It was the first nephew, first niece. It was like, this is the first kid, like, bringing in this new wave of, like, our family. And so, like, the whole fam, like, showed up. Everyone was just so excited. And for me, like, I'd never experienced anything like this before. Like, you know, by the time, you know, Josie, your third born, was born, I was just like, I don't know, just text me. Like, it's, you know, well, cool.
Looks like a baby.
Yeah. Yeah. But I remember that moment, just like, it did the suspense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and there's that sense of, like, I remember you came through the door when Gideon, your firstborn, like, when he finally had, like, made his entrance. And I remember you opened the door and you said, I have a son. And then you just started weeping. And it was just this crazy moment. Yeah. And the whole room, like, kind of, like, broke open. Because everyone was, like, carrying that same, like, suspense where it's like, I've never done this before. I'm not used to it. And the nurses are just, like, you know, it is 100 times a day. And so, like, I'm sure the magic isn't lost on them, but, you know, for us, it just feels, like, scary and impending and terrifying. And, like, what's happening? And why haven't they said anything? And it was supposed to, it's taking longer than it should. And then it happens, and it's just, like, this flood of relief, I feel like, too, where it's, like, this helplessness and fear and suspense and what-ifs and all that stuff. And then it happens in your, it's, like, your heart gives your brain permission to be, like, it's over. Like, it happened.
And I also think in that moment, there's something, like, biological or something spiritual or something happening where, like, when life is, like, born, it, like, it, like, unlocks something really, I don't know, like, that felt like a thing that wasn't there before, like, emotions I couldn't access before. And it's not just, like, I love you more than I've ever loved anything, although it is that.
Mm-hmm.
It's also just, like, oh, this is what life is. Like, this, this is something I've never experienced before.
My universe just expanded.
And it's just, but it's not just that. It's also just like, oh, this was the thing that was always in me that I couldn't access before and didn't even know it was there.
Yeah.
Like, and that's, for me,
you couldn't access it until that moment.
And I think it manifests itself a bunch of different ways for a bunch of different people. But, like, I honestly think I basically just cried for, like, 4 or 5 hours and then was more tired than I've ever been in my whole life.
I remember just thinking, like, my brother's a baby.
He's crying over this?
Well, that's all for this episode of the Hey Dad podcast. But Tyler, before we go, can you tell our good listeners what they can expect on the next episode?
Yeah, next week's episode, we're going to have Quincy Jones here with us to throw a few more of your heroes under the bus.
That's so sad.
So good.
Well, that's all for the Hey Dad podcast. I'm Kevin.
Andy's tweeting.
I'm Derek.
And I'm Tyler.
Love you. Bye.